As apartheid was coming to an end in South Africa, they set up what were called truth and reconciliation hearings. There was a truth and reconciliation commission. And the idea was to try to end having violence go back against those who had been in power and putting the country into chaos. So the idea was that if somebody had been in power and committed horrific abuses, if they came to this commission and confessed their sins, confessed what they had done to the commission and to the victims, then they would not be prosecuted for their crimes. And there was a case of one police officer named Van de Breck who stood before the commission and testified that he had killed an 18-year-old boy, and he and other officers had put this boy on a spit and burned him in order to burn up all the evidence. He said 8 years later he came to the same house and there dragged the boy's father out with the wife and the mother looking on, and took the father and bound him to wood, poured gasoline over him, and then lit him on fire as this mother, this wife, watched her husband now be burned and killed in front of her eyes. After he'd confessed what he had done, the elderly woman stood up, the wife, the mother, and of course the courtroom grew silent. And the court asked, "What do you ask of Van de Breck?" And she looked and she said, "You took from me my entire family, but I still have a lot of love in my heart. And I want you to come twice a month to my house and let me mother you. Let me be your mother." She said, "God has forgiven you, and therefore I too forgive you." They say that at that point, spontaneously, the courtroom erupted into amazing grace. And she went over to embrace him, but by that point he had fainted. How does someone love like that? How does someone look to someone who had killed in such a brutal way her son and her husband and still be able to say, "I forgive you"? And not only that, but "I want to mother you. I want to love you." How does someone love like that? And yet our Lord today tells us that is what it is to be a Christian. To love our enemies, to forgive them, to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It's not an option in Christianity. It's not saying these are super Christians. It's saying this is Christianity. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. How do we come to that kind of love? One of the reasons we don't become perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect is because we don't take sin seriously enough. We don't take it seriously enough. And so, for example, a couple of examples. One, let's say lust. Let's say a person will say, "Oh, you know, what's the big deal if I'm looking at an image on the internet of an impure image of a woman? Nobody's getting hurt. There's a lot more worse things out there. People are killing people. They're robbing people. What is it? It's not that big of a deal." Or gossip. Everybody gossips. It's human to be gossip. "Well, I don't need to bring that to confession. What's the big deal? Nobody gets hurt. They don't even hear it. And if they do, it's not like violence to them. There's a lot worse things going on. There's child molestation. There's murder. There's rape. What does God care if I'm gossiping about someone a little bit?" And we rationalize it, and we say it's not important. But let's change a little bit of those two stories. Let's say instead of us that's looking at the image, it's a friend. And as we look over their shoulder at the computer, we realize that what they're looking at is an image of my own daughter or my sister. Does that change the seriousness of it? Does that make it a little more important? Or instead of us gossiping, we're standing in the grocery store and we hear on the other side of the aisle some people talking. We begin to listen and we realize that's my son they're talking about. And then some of the horrible things they're saying about him. Does that change the seriousness of it? Father Larry Richards tells the story of a man who was wealthy in this life, and he never took care of the poor. And when he died, he's standing before the judgment seat, and the Lord says to him, "While you were alive, 10,000 children died of starvation every day. What did you do about it?" And the man said, "Well, they weren't my children." And the Lord said, "You're right, they weren't your children. They were my children. and I watched them die, and I had given you the resources to help. It changes if we realize that these are the children of God, that that woman is not just an object or an image, but is a daughter of the Father. And that person that we're talking about isn't just a jerk. Maybe they are a jerk, but they're also the son of God, the son of the Father. Do we take sin seriously enough? But secondly, and more importantly, and if you've tuned me out at this point, I ask you to tune back in. This is the most important point. And when I ask you a question, I want you to look into your heart and see what the answer is. Do you believe that God loves you passionately? As a father completely in love with his child? I'm not asking you, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for all humans? Or that God loves people? But you personally, do you believe that he is passionately in love with you? Do we believe that? Because if we don't believe that, if we say to ourselves, well, he loves everybody except for me, or he loves me despite who I am, or his love is simply pity for me, if we don't believe that he passionately loves us for who we are, who he created us to be, even with all of our sins and our brokenness, if we don't believe that, then we can't ever love like that woman. Because we can't give what we don't have. We have to know that love of the Lord. And so if we look into our hearts and we say, I don't believe that, I can't make up and say that I feel that in my heart, then what do? We have to bring that to the Lord, because it means we're believing in a lie straight out of the pit of hell. We have to bring it to the Lord and have him expose that lie. Where is it? Where is its roots at in us? And I'm going to say a prayer of you in a few moments, asking the Lord to help in this. Because what we do, and I recently, a couple months ago, I was on a retreat where I had a profound healing of myself in this area. But the way it is we have to figure out what the lie is, where the root is. And so I'll pray a prayer asking the Lord to reveal to you maybe a memory or a word. And you just kind of clear your mind and see if anything flashes in. It doesn't have to be a big traumatic moment. It can be something very small. But then later on in your prayer, either today or when you're in adoration, maybe sometime when you're alone, ask the Lord to speak to that memory. Sit in that pain. Feel those emotions that are connected to that memory. But then let Christ come in and speak to that. Heal that. Because we have to get rid of that lie. And so I ask you to just kind of close your eyes now as I say a prayer. Heavenly Father, I call upon the authority that you've given me as pastor in the spiritual lives of these parishioners. And I just ask you, Lord, in your grace to reveal now or in their time of prayer any memory, any thought, any word in which has rooted a lie about their identity. It's something that the Satan has put in there to block that love of yours, that knowledge of your love. So, Lord, I just ask you to bring to mind a memory, an image, a word. And, Lord, I ask you in their prayer time to just come to that place and speak to that place and expose the lie and reveal the truth that we might know the love of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How does one love like that woman? By knowing the love of the Father for oneself. In 2 weeks, we're going to be having an evangelization conference here, and I hope many of you call them. And sometimes we think to ourselves, well, maybe we're in the rare situation where our family and friends are already in a good relationship with the Lord, and so we don't really have to worry about that situation. But I think the Lord wants us to remember that there are many of his children that are lost right now. And it doesn't take far to look around in our community and see it's filled with people who are lost and are trying to find peace in other ways that are destroying their lives. The Lord yearns to have these children come to him in Jesus Christ and to come to him in the sacraments of the church. And so this evangelization conference is not about us trying to increase the numbers of our church to make us more. It's simply to respond to the Father's heart, who's yearning for so many more people to come to him. Because these aren't just generic people. These are the sons and the daughters of God, who is passionately in love with them and passionately wants them to know that love in Jesus Christ and in his church. And so I just invite you to pray and ask the Lord to put on your heart that desire to come and join us, to learn more about how do we evangelize, how do we recognize the ability to bring a person one step closer to Jesus, one step closer to the Father's love. For today the Lord calls us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, to be in love as the Father is in love.